1 Timothy, we've seen a number of different things. The Apostle Paul has been challenging Timothy, his son in the faith, a number of different areas. You've got to help them stay with the Scriptures and teach correct doctrine and not get off into all sorts of genealogies and endless speculation. And then he gives instructions for worship and instructions for church leaders. And then we saw again him returning in chapter 4 to the idea of that there's going to be demonic influences in some of these false teachings and how crucial it is to stick with the Scripture and to be able to avoid those things. And then that brings us to chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. And this, in some ways, it's kind of the heart of Paul's challenge to Timothy as a young church leader, missionary, pastor, whatever you want to call it. So we'll begin reading in verse 11. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise your youth. Instead, you should set an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for by doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, if you are looking at all that thinking, how is he going to get through? I'm not going to get through all that today. I'm going to plan to spend 2 weeks on this. There's just so much in this. He begins in verse 11 with this phrase, kind of linking what he said before and going on. So command and teach these things. Which things is he talking about? Probably everything he has been saying so far and what he's going on. But the point here is that what God gives us through his word is not just suggestions. Not just suggestions for how to add value to your life. And believe it or not, I've seen books in the Christian bookstore that's basically how they come across. And maybe that's just their shtick, how they try to, you know, market themselves. But no. God's word are commands. It is what we are to follow carefully and faithfully and prayerfully. And so as leaders of a church, this is what we've got to stick with, is what we see in God's word. So he goes on, and that really sets up this next verse. Let no one despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example to the believers. And then he lists these five areas that he is going to mention right there. So I want us to think about that first one. Let no one despise your youth. Now, Timothy was a young man. We read in the book of Acts how the Apostle Paul found him in one of the churches that they had started and appreciated him so much he wanted to take him along on his second missionary journey as they continued on, as Paul and Silas went on to start new churches. And so we see he is a younger man, and here, this book, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to remain in Ephesus and to continue to lead the church there for this time, establishing elders and different things, elders and deacons and helping to establish the church. So, of course, the challenge of how does a young man lead people older than him, lead a whole congregation? And so we see some of that in these next verses too. We'll see in chapter 5, but definitely won't get there today. But this idea of not letting anyone despise your youth, how do you stop somebody else from despising your youth? Well, one of the main ways You can't control somebody else, but you can do your part to show your strength and your being an example, as he's going to say. Make sure you don't give them an excuse to despise you, he might say. So this idea of not letting anyone despise your youth is really kind of a counterbalance to what we've seen, some of what he said in chapter 3, where he gave qualifications for church leaders. For it says overseer in this version, in chapter 3, verse 1, and that's parallel to the passage in Titus where Paul gives qualifications for elders and overseers, and he uses the terms interchangeably. So they're used to the idea of elders, and they had elders in the Jewish community, in the synagogue, elders. And so it's easy for us to begin using that word, or we see pastor used in other places in the New Testament, and so Baptists have typically used that phrase. But the idea, this of saying, let no one despise your youth, it's to remind us that elders or leaders don't have to be old. Okay, that's part of what he's saying. And in chapter 3, verse 6, he says that when you select an overseer, he must not be a recent or a new convert, as Holman says, a new convert. And so you see some age, it takes some time, but not necessarily an elder in life. So this is important. Maturity is not guaranteed with age. It's not guaranteed with age. As much as at times we may think that someone, unfortunately, can be an old fool or a wise young man or woman in life and in the Christian life. So age is certainly not the most important. What is most important is that the person has been discipled, has been trained well, and has been faithful in what they have been given, what they have been assigned. And so Paul is challenging Timothy, and he says, basically saying, yeah, I know you probably, there's some times when some of the older guys are like, my kids are younger than you, and you're leading the congregation? Yes, because God put him in that place, and God has used him. We all need to be humble enough to learn from people who are younger than us. And so he goes on. So let no one despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example. Be an example. Other versions say set an example. Young's literal translation says a pattern become. And I like that. A pattern become. Because what he's talking about is being an example or a pattern, and this word literally means you can imprint something, and so it's a pattern, and we use that all the time. And they were using that technology in that day too. So a pattern. So become the pattern you need to be to pass on to others, to make the proper imprint on other people's lives. That's what he's saying here. Let no one despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example to the believers. An example certainly to the unbelievers too. But here he's talking in the church family, an example to the believers. Now, we live in a society, Western society, that there's many strange things that have been going for a number of years with this. And certainly we see that our society has basically allowed adolescents, what we used to think of as youth, of the person is not yet a full, you know, adult yet, and so we've let that kind of go into the 30s in our society. And we excuse, oh, well, yeah, he's young, he's inexperienced, he's only, you know, in his 30s or whatever. But if you look at our laws, that kind of helps us remember that it wasn't that long ago that 18 was considered an adult. Not an elder, no question, but a functioning adult. And so our laws were based that way. I mean, you could be drafted, you could buy a house, you could get married without your parents' permission, all at 18. Today, our society doesn't think of people that age being very mature. Well, marriage and family does help to train a selflessness that can be hard to learn some other way. And as marriage is often put off in our society, that may be part of what's going. There's lots of things. Let me just say, this verse of not letting anyone despise your youth, instead you should be an example to the believers. That has been a major part of my life for a long time. I can remember memorizing this verse. I think it was after grade 6 or grade 7, a youth camp, and I can remember sitting out at a picnic table, and I can't remember the man's name, but it was a great teacher, and he had us memorize these verses, and this is one that he had us memorize. And it really hit me, and I'm sure I'd heard it before, but really heard God calling and saying, don't just take the cop out of, I'm just a kid, so I can just play all the time. No, God expects me to become an example for everyone else, for others my age, younger, whoever, that I need to at least become that example, whether they follow and in Jesus' ways or not. I need to become that example. I need to become that pattern and set the pace. And certainly I was in a church and with my family who encouraged me in that. I never had the idea that you're too young to do stuff in the church. Along with this is the idea, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. Jesus speaks to that, and we see that all the way through. Timothy had certainly been given much. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul reminds him and encourages him by saying, you know, I know the faith that first was with your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and now is with you. And so Timothy had some great training, surely in the Old Testament when he was young, and then the gospel was shared to him. And so he began picking that up. He was probably one of the early adopters, you could say, of Christianity in his area, in Lystra and Derbe. And so he had been given much. And the Apostle Paul is basically saying, now much is required. And I reflect on this in my life, and this has been part of my thinking my whole life, basically. My father was a pastor, but pastor of smaller churches. And so oftentimes the church would meet in our home for Bible studies. And so usually we had a weekly Bible study or more. And I was always interested. I was always wanted to be part of it and always wanted to sit in. And my parents would have people over and talk with about the gospel or talk about church. I would always want to be sitting in on that and hearing and listening. And so I had heard my dad's testimony so many times that there was a time when I think I could probably share it as well as he could share it, just because I've heard it so much. And so much had been invested in me. And my father, since I showed an interest, he took me in many different ministry settings. And I can remember the first time when we were sitting in a Sunday school room, well, the kitchen of a Masonic temple that our church was renting. And he and another young man, like 17-year-old, and I were sitting, and the young man was asking some questions about the gospel, and so we were talking, and then my dad just kind of walked away, wandered away, because he needed to do something. Later I thought, you just left it for me to share the gospel here? And so I did, and got to pray, lead the guy, young guy, to pray to receive Christ. And I kind of asked my dad later, I said, I've never seen you walk away and you saw where this was going. He said, yeah, I did. And I wanted you to have that opportunity to be there to share with him. So there, I can just look back and see how God had used me and blessed me. And so I can think of leading children's Bible studies or youth Bible studies at age like 14 or 15. And I can remember preaching your first youth sermon on Youth Sunday at like 16. And then somebody else helped disciple me after my last year of high school, and then far more in university, and learned a lot, and got a chance to serve with some missionaries for a summer in Kenya. And then we got married at 21, and you know, others are saying, aren't you young? And it's like, well, let no one look down on your youth. Set an example. Step up. And so then had an opportunity to do some interim preaching like every other week at a church that didn't have a pastor in that next year. So like 22, and went to seminary and graduated, and at 26, we were sent to the Boston suburb of Franklin to start a church. 26 years old. I say that, and I almost didn't say this at all, but I say that to encourage young people. Don't think the pastor has to have gray hair, okay? This has been part of my life, my whole life, and now I guess, yeah, the youth part no longer applies, but see all that God wants to do in your life now. And don't think, well, when I'm an older person, when I'm an adult, when I'm, you know, when I have my career established or whatever. No. Don't let anyone despise your youth. Instead, set an example for the believers, even at your age. God leads us all in different ways. Praise God. And I don't expect anyone to do what God had led me to do. But to whom much is given, much is required. And so you need to think through what has God given you, and then you need to live up to what God would want to do through you because of the investment that's been given to you. So the other thing that really hit me this week as I was looking this over, preparing for this, and I've preached on this many times, let no one despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example. To be an example like this requires relationship. It requires relationship. It requires being close enough to people that they can see your life, being open and transparent enough to see your life. And I guess maybe if anything, I get in trouble for saying too much and revealing too much. But the point is, we want to be that example of God's word, not just us, not by any stretch, just not me, but what God has called us to and how we have done our best to apply God's word in the situations God has put us in. So that relationship. We are calling people into a relationship with God and then with us and then with the church family. That's part and parcel of the gospel. See, today our society is so fragmented. It's so isolated to where people, you know, you see four young people's waiting at the bus stop or doing, you know, maybe they're out doing something together and they're all on their phone instead of even talking to each other. And so we are so isolated in our society, so disjointed, that has seeped into the church and even into the idea of our evangelism, to where often I hear the idea, well, we're just supposed to share the gospel with people. And then we tell them, you find a good church, right? Like, no, that's not the pattern we see in the scripture. Rather, we see God saying, take them with you. You're inviting them into a relationship with you. Not that you're great, but Christ is great. And so the point is, God has invested in you and you seek to share with them. People have discipled you, trained you, and so you seek to train them. And so as you share the gospel with them, that is part of what you need to be ready to help them. That you're going to be a friend. You're not just chalking up, okay, I got another time of sharing the gospel, or I have another person I help pray to receive Christ. No. You want to be friends with them. And that means opening up and letting them into your circle of friends and your clique, shall we say. Now, sometimes it's inevitable. You share the gospel with someone in an unusual setting and you will never be able to see them again, or may never. We have Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. So there are times that you can't be there, but the ideal is that you're calling them into a friendship. And so you take them with you. And if Jesus did anything, he modeled this. I mean, you see James and John, Andrew and John, who come to Jesus in John chapter 1, and they say, so where are you staying? And what does Jesus say in answer? Come and see. Come. He invites them to come along. And they basically hardly ever leave him except to go get the brothers. I mean, so it's a relationship. And we need to be thinking in those terms. It's not that we're trying to control anyone. And yes, there are groups that do that. That is not what we're looking for. But we're called to make disciples. And so, yes, this means a responsibility. It means an accountability. If I just share the gospel with them and shake their hand and say, yes, God bless you as you go, then I'm free and I don't have to worry about being an example to them and living out the gospel day by day before them. No, it means a responsibility. It's taking that responsibility seriously and being accountable to them. You certainly can't say, as many people would say, or at least the proverbial, do as I do, not as I say. Sorry, the other way around. Do as I say, not as I do. There's no place for that in the Christian life, in the church. It's got to be, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul says. There are so many things that can only be done, certainly setting an example, can only be done through a relationship. Different style of education. We're so used to a Western classroom. I remember the summer I graduated from university, I had to get a job just to make some money before we went to seminary, and so a job opened up for me at a printing company. And so I had finished a 4-year degree, and here I am helping print phone books and ink all over my hands. It didn't come off for a couple of weeks after I quit. And the different style of learning. And so I can remember I'd been there a few days when one of the pressmen said, get a gas rag and come here and watch this because you're doing it next. It's like, okay, this is a totally different style of learning than sit in the classroom and we're going to tell you all the pieces of the press and where this. No, you just watch the example and do it. There's a lot more of that in the Christian life than the Western classroom. There's certainly place for teaching, but it's never done outside of a relationship. That's why it's so crucial to be part of a church where you can get to know the people there, the leaders, the pastor. I've talked to so many people that say, yeah, I don't get a chance to ask my questions to my pastor, and so I appreciate being able to chat with you. It's like, that should say something to you. You need to be part of a church that you can talk with leaders. And anytime you have a church that either gets too large or for whatever reasons that there's that isolation and that disconnect, that lack of relationships, then that's a problem. I mean, years ago we used to talk about the weakness of the radio church. You know, people were, they'd start, I can just listen to the radio, or and then the TV, okay? So I can just stay home and watch that and on TV, and now it's, you have a teacher and you have basically, instead of local church, you have listening stations where the sermon is piped into the local, but you don't get to see the life of that speaker, of that CEO of the organization, shall we say. And we see problems that come from that. That's not the model that we see in the scripture. We see making disciples. We see training up disciples to where they lead the local groups, the local churches. So, this all requires a relationship. So, the Apostle Paul then gives five specific areas that he challenges Timothy. So, set an example, become a pattern in five areas, and we'll try to go through these. First of all, in speech. He's already said in chapter 1, verse 4, no myths, no endless genealogies, no speculations, but God's plan. So we need to be talking about God's plan, about God's word, and our speech needs to reflect that. Our speech needs to be gracious, and we see this in many ways. We have truth, and we've got to share the truth, but we do our best to make that gracious and loving, and people don't always take it loving, but we need to seek to be as gracious as we can in our speech. Of course, speech is not just the words you use, but how you say them. And there's tons in Proverbs on saying the right thing at the right time is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And I mean, that would be the ideal. And we all strive for that. Because our speech reveals our heart. So be an example for the believers in speech. In conduct, the second one. Other versions say in life. So basically it's what do you do? What do you do in your life? Where do you go? How do you spend your time? Not just the religious part, but all of life. I can remember bumping into a guy that we had been leading in a discipleship group in seminary. Good friend, dear friend. He and his wife and my wife and I. But we were shopping at the grocery store late one evening and bumped into him, or they bumped into us, and first thing he does is go over to my cart and, oh, what are you buying? And it just seemed a little bit strange. It's like, but wait a minute. My life needs to be an open book. You can see what I buy. Conduct. So not just don't do bad things, but what is the good you are doing? Are you doing good with your life? We've got to live the gospel. We've got to live God's word, not just talk about it idly, not just pontificate about it and theoretical talk. It's got to be lived out in our life. And oftentimes they may not understand the words, the teaching, as much as the example that they see. And that's just life. We've got to be able to share this. The Apostle Paul, as he writes his letters, he often commends people. And in the end of the book of Romans, he goes on for most of a chapter and just listing, say hello to this person and that person, and then just on and on. So we see the relationships are so important to him. And we see that he commends especially those who risk their lives for the gospel. The conduct of their lives is so exemplary. They've put their faith into practice in their lives, into action. And the Apostle Paul says, I noticed that. That's who you want to be copying. Be an example in your conduct. Jesus, all his teaching was about conduct. I mean, the heart and our attitudes, but then that carries out in our conduct. He says, whoever hears the word, these words of mine and puts them into practice is a wise man who has built his house on a solid foundation. So he's all about obeying him. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you. That's a lot to become, and none of us can do that except for by God's Spirit, His power. So, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love. And so this word love is the word agape, the word that's an all-giving kind of love. It does what is best for the other person without really counting the cost to me. Doing what's best for the other person. So this, don't think gushy feelings. Don't think about the top 10 radio, you know, stuff about whatever they say love is supposed to be. This is that commitment, that serving, that helping. Jesus constantly repeated this idea, this commandment. And a new commandment I've given to you. Yeah, new? How is that? Anyway, just a way to remind them again, love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. So Paul says, you should set an example in this area of love, loving one another. In faith, number four here, faith, that is, trusting God and acting on it. So in times of crisis, when you're risking your life, but also in every day, in the easy times of life, be an example of your faith, of putting the gospel, putting the scripture into action in your life. Set an example of faith. And I can think of many believers, parts of our, people in our church who blessed me so much when I saw the faith in their lives. Sunday school teachers who would take time and drive a ways to help our small church that is starting out, or just numerous times I can think of people who committed their lives to service in the body of Christ, carrying out their faith. So, faith, set an example. And then the fifth one, in purity. Set an example in purity. This word means basically holiness. It is a sinless life. It is moral purity. So pure from every fault, immaculate, clean. I mean, that's a tall order. But we live in a day where our society, Canadian society, Western society, is turning farther from God's ways. And we're drowning in impurity, whether it's in the media, whether it's just hearing people talk as you walk down the path, or just unbelievable, the impurity that is accepted, tolerated, praised in our society. Many Christians watch things for entertainment that they would never do themselves. Oh, no. But they allow that for their entertainment. The problem is, once our consciences have been calloused, it's a much shorter step toward carrying out that impurity in our lives. So if you're thirsty like I'm thirsty, and I offer you a drink, and I say, yeah, so this is a new bottle, I'll open it up, and I'm just going to drop some sewage in there. How many drops would be acceptable in your bottle of water? None! Then why do we allow impurity in things that we can control? Now, when you go to work, like this printing company, I'm glad I had protection in my ears so I couldn't hear most of what they were saying. That's the world. Jesus said, Father, I'm praying for these men. I'm leaving. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you be with them in the world. There's corruption in the world, but we need to make sure it's not in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our homes. Purity. We need to set an example for the brothers, for the believers in purity. So this is certainly one of the biggest areas that separates believers from unbelievers. And people notice. Most people. Some people are so wrapped up in their own lives they don't notice anything. But most people notice. So be an example. We all tend to live by examples, whether we realize it or not. Examples, we copy what other people do, whether it's good or bad. So think of some people who are good examples in your life. And I know from talking to you, a number of you have shared with me stories and people, whether it's your family or extended family or people in your church who are good examples. And God encouraged you and blessed you and challenged you through their examples. So think of them. And sometimes we don't appreciate the examples that we have all that much at the time. Sometimes until we get out on our own and try it on our own and realize, oh, wait a minute, how is he doing that? I need to think back through how they were living that out. And so sometimes we don't appreciate the examples we have at the time, but maybe later we appreciate them more. And maybe we appreciate the example. And I can think of times when I just realized from the beginning how much of a blessing this person was in my life and all that I was learning, and I praised God for them, and I was giving glory to God for them and for what God was doing through their life and my life, and I was seeking to copy that example. Well, we also may not realize who all is copying us. You may think, well, I'm not in a position of, up front where people see me and would copy me. Oh, but people copy. We all live by those examples. You really realize that when you have children, and then they copy everything. Good and bad, they copy, and often it's the bad things that they seem to copy more, when you see something in their life and it's like, oh, that doesn't look so good, but I recognize that for me. And they're just copying me. Well, we need to be very careful about the pattern that we are setting. So let's think about how to apply this to our lives. Some questions we might ask ourselves as we apply this. First of all, am I a believer? He says, set an example for the believers. Well, if you're not a believer, that's where it's got to start. You've got to put your faith in Christ and receive the forgiveness of your sin as you make Christ your king. So, am I a believer? Then second, think of those who are examples for you. What are some memorable moments when you learned some things in the Christian life as you saw examples from other people? Thank God for them, for their example, and seek to follow that. Then another question, how well have I guarded the pattern entrusted to me from corruption from the outside? I may have started off well. Am I continuing to run this race of faith well today? And then, what kind of pattern am I setting for others? And even more, what am I doing intentionally to pass this on to someone else, to make disciples of all nations? Where is my man? Where is my woman that I am seeking to pass this on to? Well, join with me as we pray. Lord, we thank you for these words that challenge us in so many areas of our lives. Paul gave us five here, but there's so many more. Lord, thank you for each in our congregation. And I thank you that we have many who are young. And I thank you for the example that I am seeing in their lives already of purity and speech and love. And so, Lord, bless them all the more. And may we as a church family always encourage and always give opportunity to grow and develop in their walk with Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the many, many young people you've brought to us over the years. And even as you have led many to move on back home after school or whatever, Lord, we thank you. And we pray that we can be that example for the believers. And Father, we pray that you would speak to each heart. And if there are people who are here who have not yet put their faith in you, not confirmed that decision, I pray that today they would do that. They would hear your voice calling them to yourself. And they wouldn't come up with any excuse, but rather just say, I need Jesus to transform my life. So work in each heart, we pray. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.